Well, it's a tremendous blessing to be here tonight. I was sitting there thinking that I don't know too many preachers who have had the privilege of serving with longevity in a church, close to 40 years here. About 39 all up, I guess. And even seeing three, and in some cases, four generations of people. That's a great joy. Because today, in many places, churches have less than a 40-year expiry date around the world. But to see Northside Baptist Church continuing and to have the joy of being here again is something very, very valuable to me. It's such a great joy. I can't put words around it, really. We've seen highs and lows and in-betweens. But, you know, I think God providentially prepared me in so many ways for the ministry of the gospel in having been involved in warfare, real warfare, because the spiritual warfare is very real. And casualties happen, and people take different routes and different paths to get to the finish line and different things like that. And so I've been blessed in the sense of realizing that in the spiritual realm, the warfare can be very severe and costly. But the words and things that I want to leave you tonight have been important to me to stay with it and to not be deterred in the battle and in the warfare that we have. Have I been wounded? Sure. Have I been beaten down? Sure. Have I had reversals? Of course. Have I had to retreat a little bit and regroup at times? Of course. I mean, there's all of these different things that happen to us along life's way. But there are a couple of things that remind us that our Savior is faithful. And he tells us that faithful is he who calleth us, who will also do it. And we need to let him do it, amen? We can't do it. We need to let him do it. And I must just testify here for a moment. To God be the glory, for he did it over these years. And I know he'll continue to do it if we agree with him about how to do it. Amen? Now, one of the major things that made a difference in my life was the knowledge of the forgiveness of my sin and to keep that ever fresh before me. And this little song, you've heard it before, has something to do with it. My sins have been cast in the depths of the sea. Oh, down deep in the sea. So deep they shall never be brought against me. Oh, down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down. Down in the depths of the sea, oh, the sins of my past, they're all gone at last, down in the depths of the sea. My soul is rejoicing, my sins are all gone, down deep in the sea. And I praise my dear Lord, who has cast every one down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down in the depths of the sea. Oh, the sins of my past, they're all gone at last. Down in the depths of the sea. From sin's condemnation, I now am set free. Oh, down deep in the sea. And all of the dread of the past is now ceased. Yes, down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down. Down in the depths of the sea. Oh, the sins of my past. Praise God, they're gone at last. Down in the depths, almost, of the sea. Amen. As you get older, things get tighter and it doesn't go quite as well. But I'm thankful they're gone. As far as the east is from the west, into the sea of God's forgetfulness. Amen. So that's been something that has really been an anchor and a choice help to me in my life as a Christian, but also as a preacher and as one who has been involved in many a battle in this warfare down in the depths of the sea. Take your Bible. Turn with me to Galatians and chapter 5. Now, I will confess to you that this has been something of a theme the last couple of years for me in the churches here in Australia, because I knew that this day was coming, that I would be ending, at least in the foreseeable future, I would be coming to close my ministry in your churches here in Australia. And so I have thought long and hard about things I'd like to leave with you, things I'd like you to remember, things that if you think of old Brother Weeks, you'll think about some of the things we talk about tonight. Chapter 5 of the book of Galatians, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall have profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are, justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Now let's stop there and pray for a moment, and then I want to just kind of explain a couple of things. Father, thank you for this hour. Thank you for everyone that's come this way. Some have journeyed distance. And I thank you and appreciate their sacrifice and their willingness to be here tonight. And it is a great joy to my soul. But I pray, dear God, that this will not be about me. That this will be about the Lord Jesus and the victory that he gives us, not only initially in salvation, but in a continuing way as we trust him and his promises and go forward in our Christian walk with him. So I pray that you'd lift up the Lord Jesus Christ here tonight so that if there be one that is not certain of their salvation, they could see it is Jesus whom they need to trust. It is his work at Calvary that has met the need for our salvation. And I pray that through the shed blood and the preaching of it, that individual would be convicted and convinced that there's no other way but to trust in a sincere and repentant way for their salvation. And then, Lord, I pray for those of us who gladly report that there was a day that the Spirit of God brought us to a place of humility, brought us to a place of actually asking to be forgiven and to be cleansed every stain and to have eternal life granted through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, have your will and way in our hearts. Bless us, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, obviously, this is the result of the allegory that has just previously been spoken of in chapter 4, where the two covenants were represented by Agar, the flesh, the child of flesh, and then by Sarah, who is the promise covenant. So this is allegorized, and I'm not trying to go through a Bible lesson here, but I just want you to understand that I'm lifting out of the context here the first verse of chapter 5. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath set you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. If I can leave anyone with last admonitions and last encouragements, it's this. The world is full of quitters. The world is full of people who go back on their word. The world is full of shameful, wicked behavior. But we are not of the world as believers. Now, you may not be saved yet, but you're here tonight amongst people who have turned from their wicked ways and have looked to Jesus to save them from their sin and the condemnation of it and give them eternal life and a home in heaven. And yet, within the church, within the economy of belief, there are people who I believe, because they have not paid attention to their lives before Christ, they have not given the Lord a rightful place in their life, they have become either casualties or they have become cold and indifferent, and their earthly journey spends a lot of time spinning their wheels, so to speak, or treading water rather than advancing, rather than growing in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, growth is change. Growth is changing. Growth is to come to a place of bearing fruit, and then much fruit, and more, or more fruit, and then much fruit. And so we could go through all of those things, but I want you to know that within the economy of belief and within the sphere of people who name the name of Jesus Christ, sadly, we have found those who have quit. And there's lots of different reasons, explanations, I should say. But in a real sense, there is no excuse to quit, okay? I mean, look what Christ has done for us. Look how he took our sins, not just upon himself, but actually became them and bore them to Calvary so they could be taken away and forgiven. So there's no rationale and there's no legitimacy for someone to say, okay, I'm going to just leave and go my own way. But that has happened even in the Bible. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, that's just one case. But the truth of the matter is, you won't live very long in the Christian life without coming into conflict with the enemy. The enemy is constantly working with his different appeals and allurements, and he's going to do his dead level best to quench your zeal and your light by any number of methods, and to try to keep you from being effective and effectual for the Lord. Now, God did not save us for just an escape from eternal damnation and hell. God saves us with a purpose. He has a design and a plan for your heart, your life, your sojourn. He's got a specific, wonderful will for your life. And we can find it quite easily if we keep our nose in the Bible, reading and praying every day, asking God to teach us his way, directing our steps, committing our work unto the Lord, our thoughts shall be established, Proverbs 16:3, and all kinds of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So the will of God is not some mysterious, hidden secret that God's holding out in front of you, saying, come this way, come on, I'll give you a little bit. No, God says, just trust me every day, just pray every day, just read your Bible every day, let me speak to your heart, just give yourself completely to me, and I'll lead you in the way you ought to go. And by the way, that's a perfect way for you. But what I'm driving at here is this. If you take a casual approach to the things of Christ. Now, I remember when I first got saved, man, I thought I was going to blow up. You know, I was on fire, and I said to him, we're going to go talk to every relative I had. We drove north 400 miles every weekend and tried to ferret out people that I was related to, close relations, far relations, in-laws, outlaws, anybody I could find. And then I would drive south 400 miles the next weekend. I mean, my relatives were scattered hither, thither, and yon. But I had a burden. Because I had been a professed Christian, but not a Christian by possession of Christ. I had told people, oh yeah, I went to Sunday school, I memorized scripture, and I did, but it was never effectual in my heart. It was only a head knowledge and an intellectual assent. But when you get truly born again, and the Spirit of God comes to live within you, guess what? You're a changed individual. You've got new life to live. And people will sometimes react in many different ways. Some will be glad for you. Boy, there were some people that were real happy that Glenn Weeks got saved. That means he was not going to be the same old honorary so-and-so he was, to some degree anyway. but there were some people that, they said, oh, what a hypocrite, you know. There's still people who say, we think he's just a phony. We think this and we think accusations will come. Oftentimes from people that are close. I know for some years, a lot of people that were pretty close to me said, who does he think he is? He thinks he's holier than thou. And all the while, all I wanted to do was get them saved if they were lost and get them excited about the Lord Jesus, because I was excited. Some of you know the same thing. Most of you do, because the zeal of the Lord eats us up, as it were. And we want to spread the good news. It's like having a cure to a major malady. You just want to get it out to people so that they can be delivered from the destruction of the malady that they have contracted. Then you kind of run into a couple of potholes in the road of life, and you fall down, and different things happen, and you kind of cool a little bit, maybe. And you have to take a step backwards and say, you know, what's changed? Well, Christ never changes. We know that. He's forever the same. His promises are yea and amen. They don't change. And the idea of answered prayer, that doesn't change. God delights in answering our prayer. And so you take a, you know, take a hard look at yourself and you say, it's me, O Lord, standing in the knee of prayer. And I want to get back to a place of joy. And because the joy of the Lord is our strength, you know. And I'd rather walk around with a deep, settled peace in my heart than some kind of, phony, baloney, Cheshire cat grin that, you know, just as soon as you get talking on the telephone, you go back to the old. Or just as soon as you shake hands with somebody and turn the other way, that Cheshire cat grin has dissipated right off. I want to walk around in genuineness, honesty, integrity. I want to walk around with the idea of kindness. And you know where that comes from? It comes from the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit wants us to represent the Lord Jesus Christ and be meek and mild and be strong in many, many things. So, I'd rather walk in the power of the Spirit of God because I found it to be most wonderful. The other side of things is most miserable. So there's two extremes here. Be miserable or be happy in Jesus. So stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. When you trust Christ as your Savior, the shackles of sin are broken and the bars of imprisonment that you have been in are now broken. And sin no more hath dominion over you. In other words, sin cannot rule you if you take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to live above this. He'll give you the power to do so. I'm so thankful that there is victory in Jesus. And that way he gets the glory, as we're saying, he gets the glory, not me, but he gets it. And I relish to tell people how that he gives victory over sin and over Satan and over death and over hell. Jesus is our victory and he's everything to us. He's our all in all. And we need to stand fast in that conviction of Christ, the one who has saved us, forgiven us, and empowered us by his Spirit to live on the top side rather than on the bottom. Quit you like men, Paul said. Don't quit. What are you going to do if you do quit? Hey? What are you going to do if you were to say, I've had enough? I've had people tell me and then run into them later, and I said, how's that worked out for you? I've never had one say, oh, really good, you know. I've never had anyone like that tell me it's just such a pleasant thing to walk away from God. No. It's the most miserable. So, first of all, stand fast in the liberty where Christ has set you free. Stand fast in your salvation. He gave it to you. He saved your soul. So stand fast in it. Don't quit. Don't accept some other proposal to delight yourself in. There's lots of things out there. They'll say, oh, listen, that business of the free pardon of sin, that's not true. But it is true. He's forgiven us all our sin. So stand fast in your testimony of salvation. Don't give it any place to cause doubt in your life. Satan is the one who brings doubts, isn't he? And you can say, I am saved by the blood of the Lamb. I am saved by the crucified one. I am saved through the work of Christ, not my own merit. And so, devil, go peddle your papers somewhere else. I'm going to stand in my salvation. Now, I may not be much, and I never may amount to much, but I know this, I am not what I once was because of the blood of Christ. And I'm thankful that I'm more than I ever dreamed I could be. As an unbeliever, I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And, you know, he's got a mansion waiting for me there. So my first point to you tonight is stand in your salvation because he gave it to you and he's not going to take it away. Second thing is this. Stand in the knowledge that he has specifically and he has wonderfully invested in you certain gifts, certain blessings. These are from him, and you can stand in them and you can rejoice in them. It may be the gift of helps, which you don't hear a lot of people talk about. But I think all of us should be a helper, don't you? The Bible says, my help cometh from the Lord. So the Lord's a helper. And I want to emulate the Lord Jesus. I want him to get glory out of my life because he bought and paid for it with his own shed blood. Not with silver or gold or any person. But he has not only saved me, but he has made a great investiture in me by his Spirit and given me gifts to minister to the people at large and in the church. Now, when you discover that God has enabled you to do certain things, don't get a big head. As a matter of fact, it ought to cause you to shrink back a little bit and say, oh Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. How can you use me? But he is going to use you. He wants to use you. It could be just a word spoken like pictures of silver and what is it? Yeah, you got it. Thanks, Pastor. Appreciate it. You can see why I'm going into semi-retirement. And other reasons, too. Anyway, you don't want to quit on your gift or gifts. I believe you have a primary, and I believe that you have secondary gifts. But you don't want to quit on them. You want to use them. You want to get as much out of them for Jesus' sake as you possibly can. Now, that may mean that you are a worker behind the scenes, so-called. It may mean that you're not an upfront person. It may mean that you are not a mouthpiece for the Lord. It may mean that you are hands or feet or the brawn or whatever to move along the burden of the gospel. Every one of us is a part of the body. Stub your little toe lately, have you? Try to walk with the nail peeled right back. Man, it hurts. And then all of a sudden you realize your little toe is important to walking. So is your big toe, by the way. Cut your finger, break a bone. All of a sudden you realize that these parts of the body are, you've taken them for granted. You know, you just use them and you're so blessed. And then all of a sudden something happens to remind you that it's vital, it's important. And it's the same within the church and the economy of believers. It's the same. God's gifted every one of us and we need to exercise and use it for God's glory. I said to Brother Philip up at Lobethal there yesterday. So yesterday, it all runs together for me, but I think. I tell you, I need to retire. I said to him, I said, well, look, you've got a great opportunity here. You have time, and you have your mind, and you can pray, and you can get more done here praying than some of us will ever get done out there walking around and trying to, you know, do battle with the enemy. You can do battle right here and win and be victorious. And so all of us, whether we're hamstrung with one thing or another, which we all have some debility of one kind or another, and God's using that to help us to understand our dependence upon him. So exercise your faith in your gifts that God's given you. Don't quit on them. Keep them actively before you in thought and in prayer and in deed. Live for Jesus. A life that is true, wholehearted, faithful and loyal. Give him all. Let him take it and empower it and use it in your life to effect the salvation in loved ones' lives and to effect the salvation in the community around you. Stand fast. Don't be moving with every wind of doctrine that comes down the pike. Stand fast in your understanding of doctrine. Stand fast in the grace of God. Stand fast in the mercies of God. Stand fast. Don't easily let it go. Fight for it. Be a warrior for God in the matter of grasping hold of these truths and saying, I'm not going to let it go. In other words, like Jude said, you're the defense of the faith, the defense of the gospel. Be active in it. Pray against the enemy. Work yourself against the enemy. Lift up a banner of love and mercy and forgiveness and grace in your life. May people recognize the fact that you are like Moses, meek and yet strong for the things of the Lord. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath set you free. My, we have liberty, don't we? We have freedom to speak for the Lord. Our tongues have not been cut out like so many Christians of old. You realize that, right? Our bodies have not been hampered with different shackles that the world and evil would try to put on us. We have liberty to speak, to testify, even as those sang to the top of their lungs when they were burning in the fires in Fox's Book of Martyrs, in history gone by. We have liberty to say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, for he first loved me. Stand fast in your commitment of service. Stand fast in your involvement. Don't give it up lightly. Oh, it's such a pleasure to have something to do for Jesus. Such a joy to serve him and to just know that he's given me this to do and to do it obediently and lovingly. Serve him with joy and gladness. There's so many other things. Be forgiving. Look, it's probably one of the more laborious tasks we have. But we can forgive others because Christ forgave us. And that's what you need to remember. Christ having forgiven us, he would have us to forgive others. And it's a whole lot better living on the side of forgiveness than the side of not. I mean, that just festers within and creates so many problems. Live on the side of forgiveness. Live on the side of kindness. Live on the side of bearing one another's burdens, so fulfilling the law of Christ. Live on the side of advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Live on the side of holding up righteous standards and defending the faith once delivered, as I've already said. Live on that side of the issue. Don't allow yourself to become embittered with anything. I'll give you a verse that's been real vital to me, Psalm 119, verse 165. It says that great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's what it means. Nothing will offend you because you have this peace having loved the law and the word of God. Something becomes a little offensive or rubs you the wrong way, or, you know, like a cat, you rub the fur the wrong way, they'll hiss at you. And if they got claws, they'll try to fix you up good. But your fur has been rubbed the wrong way, okay? I feel the irritation, I feel the offense, but great peace have they which love the law of God, and God instructs us. Are we greater than the master? No. He was offended in every way. They called him a winebibber, a drunkard. They called him all kinds of things. They called him a devil. And I'm afraid some of us will face those kind of offenses. But when offenses come, just flee to the Word of God. Flee to the cross. Flee to the place of prayer. Don't take it like the natural man, but as a spiritual man, realize that our power to forgive and to live above offense is not in us, but it's in our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Well, it's just wonderful, the things that we can stand fast in, you know. Just stand there. See the salvation of the Lord. Stand still. Behold him in all of his wonder and beauty. And behold him as he works in your life. Behold the hand of God. Nehemiah said, the hand of God has been good upon me. Ezra said, the hand of God has been good upon me. Look to see the hand of God working in your life. Expect every day for the Lord to do something in your life. Not spectacular, perhaps, but something which is evidence that you're his child and that he loves you supremely. Oh, are we going to face hard times? Definitely. Are we going to face reversals? Definitely. Are we going to face the fading of our earthly bodies? Yes, all of it. But one day, when the Son of God steps through the blue of the eastern sky and the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds of the air to forever be with our Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, O my soul. He's coming again. And this old world is going to get worse and worse and worse, but we can live above it by faith. Stand fast in the faith of Jesus Christ. Stand fast in your prayer life. Stand fast in sharing your faith with others. Stand fast. Be what God wants you to be. Pray. Say, dear Lord, I'm yours. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the life I now live. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Is there any price too high to pay? He paid the ultimate. And some of us may lay down our lives for the sake of Christ before it's all over, but it won't be too high. We'll do it gladly because of his love for us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you now for the opportunity and the blessing of hearing the Word of God. Lord, I pray that if there be one that's considering him tonight concerning salvation, I pray they trust right from their hearts even now. Then, Lord, help each one of us who want to live for you. Help us, dear God, to just give ourselves in the sense that perhaps we've never done before. And I pray that there may be some here tonight praying, Lord, take my life and let it be wholly consecrated unto thee. Now, Father, work, and we'll thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.